Hello, everyone. Welcome to Hobbit Bites, Episode 3. I am one of your hosts. I am Trey, and with me is Jake.
For Erebor, it's me.
Are you going to do a dramatic intro every time now? Is that just like...
Maybe. I don't know. I might run out of ideas.
Happens to us all. Well, all right. So as an outline for today's episode, we're going to start by going over the news in which we got a revealed hero pack. And then as far as the actual analytical part of the episode, or the topic we chose for tonight, we're going to be going over the tactics heroes and their hero rewards. And then we'll go to decks we've been playing lately before closing it out for the night, I guess. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything to add?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, then. I guess let's head right to the news. We got a hero pack revealed for Raphael.
You almost said it the Spanish way.
Raphael.
That would be Italian, I guess.
It's Raphael. It's a Ninja Turtle in disguise. All right, so I guess... You want to read Raphael?
You want me to read her?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Raphael, she's a lore hero. She has 9 threat, 2 attack, 2 willpower, 9 health, and she's a Sylvan, and she has the power: recover one of your non-unique allies, grant surge to your next ally played this round. What do you think?
And lore.
And she's lore.
I mean, I guess she's... I actually misunderstood this at the beginning. I thought recover was a dead ally.
Oh, like from the discard? Well, there, I guess there's no discard pile in this game so far.
There's none, but that doesn't mean there couldn't be. Mm-hmm. Like just keeping track of something that died and just adding something that died just doesn't even have to be where you pick it. It could just be something that died randomly. You just get a random one of your dead things back.
But no, recover, for those of you who don't know, is a new keyword. Well, I guess it's not really a bold keyword, but it's a new word in the game. And it means to bring somebody from the table back to your hand.
I guess if that's the official terminology they're going with.
I think
it
is.
Aren't they really more if you think of it as like, you know, recovering being bringing them back more into existence, wouldn't that be like making them less existent?
Yeah. I think return might be a bit more, you know, apropos word, but we have recover. So, and I don't know. As far as the actual ability,
make an actual keyword. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you're right. If they made it an actual keyword, power, recover, colon, another colon, then recover, then bring one of your non-unique allies to your hand. I think it's cool. She gets to basically, you get to basically heal a hurt ally. I think one of the main, problems that you're going to run into is having to keep that ally alive so that you can recover them, you know? So you don't want them to die, because if they die, then you can't recover them. I don't think they have to be from the table. So, but that's really cool, because it's very lore to be able to just kind of heal up. And then the surge part is kind of like a cherry on top where you get
right away. I'm going to be honest. That wasn't how I kind of saw the use for this at all, but that's interesting, I guess. I mean, yeah. I just saw this as they're, you know, going for the same direction Sylvans are in the tabletop, where they're basically based on bouncing.
For sure.
So, like, and they already have a bunch of Sylvans with arrivals. Mm-hmm. So I know this isn't Sylvan exclusive, and honestly, this is actually the kind of thing where this might end up being the hero I start running in the reinforcements deck I mentioned prior.
Okay.
Because, you know, that one's 2 leadership, 1 lore. So the ability to just redo arrivals.
Yeah. Right now, one of the coolest synergies is with Galadriel's Handmaiden. So you can basically bring Galadriel's Handmaiden in the same copy in twice for -1 threat each time. So that's, you know. I know early on somebody made like a negative threat deck almost, or they got like really, really low. So that's going to help with that kind of deck if you're going for that.
Oh, goodness. Glorfindel plus Rossiel plus Galadriel's Handmaiden. And you could be, you could get to like zero threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other,
there's not, there's still not a ton of reason to care that much. Like, at going, the point is you don't want to go up too much in this game. I've noticed mm-hmm. there's not, you don't care that much about lowering your threat.
True. Sure. Just low enough to get under some of the events.
Yeah. But like, there aren't, they need more things that have negative effects based on threat. Like, you know, an enemy that gets additional attack while you mm-hmm. have a high threat, or a threat above a set threshold. That'd be mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, that would be great.
Just little stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other allies that are Sylvan, they're not super, I mean, we're going to get to another one, I'm sure, right now, but right now in the game, there's just Sylvan Tracker, Arrival, Great
Sorry,
Bell.
We should probably read Galadriel's Handmaiden for a second. That's one cost spirit ally, Arrival.
Minus one threat.
Is it minus one? I thought it was minus two.
It's just minus one.
Oh.
Yeah. Two willpower, two health, no attack.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's not, I was worried for a second people were going to be like playing one of those every single turn.
Yeah.
And I'd just get, boom, you're into the negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that works. It's not, still really strong with Glorfindel, but not, that's not nearly as oppressive as I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. And the only other ones they have we have right now are Woodland Courier, two cost spirit ally who has an arrival ability to apply one progress. And then the other one is Galadon Archer in Tactics, one cost ranged ally that has the arrival ability to deal one damage. So they're kind of relatively at this time like small effects, just kind of pinging things. So Rossiel is going to be really cool. That.
Sorry. As far as, and it doesn't have to be though, Sylvan. That is interesting. It can be any type of ally, not merely Sylvan.
That's true. That's true.
So like, it could be, you know, it, I mean, I like how they very clearly were like, yeah, people are going to use this with Gandalf if we don't use it. If we don't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, but I guess uniques are a good way to sort through that. Ooh, you know the real big brain play?
What's that?
Dunedain Hunter.
Arrival Sauron plays one random minion from his deck.
Yeah.
Over and over again. Yeah.
You can't lose if you kill yourself.
Yeah. Too smart. Too smart for me.
On a more serious level.
Iron Hills Miner is really cool. Sorry, now I'm just looking at all the arrival allies.
Fang is zero cost. Or like even things, the things generated by a lot of cards.
Fang.
Like Radagast. Or wait, is Fang unique? Yeah, he actually is. But like Radagast, the summons of Radagast are actually really good to balance. Just like.
Yeah, that's true. Helpful Squirrel, Exhausted Minion. Sorry to get
it costs this. Zero. That's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
And then Friendly Bird, plus one fate for each hero in play.
Yeah, that one. That's really great, actually. Rossiel and Radagast.
Yeah, I didn't. You know, that's actually a really interesting idea. Is if you're playing Radagast so that you can start your bouncy bird.
Yeah, my favorite kind of bird. Yeah, that's great. Westfold Outrider costs one. He arrives and deals two damage to an unwounded enemy, so you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff. Where I mean.
Yeah.
And it's only going to grow from here, you know.
Wandering Took.
Yeah, that's actually not bad.
Every single turn, Rob Sauron.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can play something like, whenever there's no chance of anything attacking, like, you know, he's attacked with everything, and now next turn he's going to play something, and then bring it back, and then don't play it while there's any danger, so you can safely hold something in your hand, except you just play it every turn.
Mm-hmm.
Something like Wandering Took would love the ability to continually rob Sauron.
Yeah. So yeah, overall, I think that she's going to be really cool, and I really can't wait to try her.
I'm guessing that she discards any attachments attached to them.
Oh yeah, good point. I'm also guessing that, yeah.
Well, that's how I'd guess it to work. If it doesn't work, then that's pretty good, because then you could start reassigning things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, it just says recover one of your allies, and doesn't really mention it, so we'll have to...
Probably some Q&A stuff we'll have to ask about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'll read the next card.
Yep.
Sylvan Sharpshooter. It's a 3-cost tactics ally. 1 attack, 1 willpower, 4 health. Ranged. After a Sylvan attack, Sylvan Sharpshooter also attacks the defender, and it is obviously a Sylvan. Does this basically get infinite attacks for each Sylvan? Or like, you attack with a Sylvan, and this automatically attacks, regardless of if it has already attacked?
I'm guessing it works even while exhausted. Otherwise, the power level is significantly lowered if he has to be ready.
Otherwise, this is a pretty trash card.
Yeah.
But this can kind of be seen as a Sylvan Dane.
Sure.
Because it basically gives 1 attack to each Sylvan attack.
Mm-hmm. Does he trigger off of himself? I know that's a little weird, but like, does he get to attack twice?
Here's a Sylvan question. What if you have 2 Sylvan Sharpshooter?
Yeah, how does that work?
Well, they infinitely attack anything.
It's just an endless loop. I don't know.
Well, that Sylvan attacked, so I attack. I mean, I'm guessing he won't trigger on himself, because otherwise he would just infinitely attack anything.
Yeah.
But I could see 2 of these, if 2 of these just set up an infinite loop where it just, you know, killed anything instantly. You have a boss enemy, no problem. Your Sylvan Sharpshooters are going to just kill him. Still only counts as 1.
He's interesting. It's like, for me, it remains to be seen how powerful it is. He's taking up a whole slot, you know? And
Read as a, especially since he has ranged, read as a Sylvan Dane.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really like this. I think this is a really good card.
Yeah, I guess I'm not quite as sold, just because, I mean, 3 is a lot, 4 is pretty squishy, 4 health.
Yeah, I guess he's an ally version, but I still think he's certainly worth including. And I think he might be one of the reasons a Sylvan deck works, though. Maybe I'm also just putting Dane's greatness upon Sylvan Sharpshooter here, and that's I guess I can't help but see it. All right, well, I guess
let me just say one last thing about him. I think it would be cool to throw right now. I don't see a ton of use for a lot of the like gain ambush attachments, and by the way, ambush avoids block on enemies, so you just get straight through it. It would be cool to put block on him because he's only 1 attack. Or, of course, it'd be cool to just throw a weapon on him that gives him more. But, I could see a web cutter on him or a Cloak of Lorien or something.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
A buffable Dane effect.
Well, you could buff Dane too, I guess.
Yes, but you couldn't suddenly switch Dane's effect to give all dwarves +2 attack.
Yeah, that's true.
With that, he suddenly goes, you know, like just a warrior sword.
Mm-hmm.
Something any deck could run, like any tactics deck.
Mm-hmm.
He suddenly becomes all your Sylvan cards get +2 attack.
Yeah.
Just inessential. I'm not. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Assuming he doesn't have to be ready. let's hope that's ready.
If he has to be ready, that's actually pretty bad.
Yeah.
Unless the point is they're trying to make it so that his attack is a surge attack. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
We need to ask about that one because I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we can hope.
Yeah. You want to read the next card?
Sure. The next one is called None Return. It is a lore preparation, level 2, and it's 1 cost. Am I doing this backwards from how you do it? I can start.
Doesn't over. Really matter.
Okay, it's a lore preparation called None Return, level 2, 1 cost. After an enemy is defeated, deal 1 damage to each enemy. Repeat for each additional enemy defeated. I like this one.
Yeah, I actually really. So I know I might. Have you ever played Hearthstone? Is that
a little bit?
Okay. There's a card in that game called The File that's very similar to this.
Okay.
Basically, it deals because you have to set things up to count, basically. Mm-hmm. So if you get a 1 health and a 2 health and a 3 health. Oh, and it's dealing 4 damage to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I do find it interesting. It requires an enemy to be defeated.
Sure.
And it's a level 2 lore, meaning your access to good attackers is lower.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, actually, wait. Nope. Faramir. Faramir exists.
Oh, yeah. One of the best at it. Yeah, this is probably, you're probably going to want to have Faramir, somebody that could swing
for 2. I'm not going to say he's one of the best, but either way.
He's one of my favorite. Well, I can say that for sure. Yeah, this is crazy to me. It's like the Dwarven Peacekeeper that we were raving about, except it has the potential to just keep going, which is great.
Can this trigger when Sauron suicides something into your, like, if I guard, I guess, yeah, that would trigger.
Yeah. They're still defeated, even if they're dead.
So that might actually make it kind of hard sometimes to set up, because his 1 health thing might jump into your guard.
Yeah. A little more variable.
And then all of a sudden, you're just dealing 1. But even then, it's still better than Rain of Arrows.
Yeah.
Just kind of sad.
That's true. Yeah, I think the only way that I can think of really planning for this is say you have to have the 2 lore heroes, and then you have Legolas, and you can play this after Sauron's passed. Just play this as your preparation. Then for the next round, if it's all set up, then Legolas can snipe somebody for 1 for his upkeep ability, and then it'll trigger this whole chain of events. So that might be like a kind of cool thing to do, is to try to plan your turn based around upkeep damage or something like that. But yeah, I think it's nice.
So I guess that moves us to...
Yeah.
I guess is there anything else here? I think that's really much. It's just a good card, so I guess...
Yeah, pretty good.
Let's move on to Greenwood Defender.
All right.
Greenwood Defender is a 1 cost leadership ally. It is 2 attack, 0 willpower, 3 health. Arrival, gain guard the first round in play, and it is a Sylvan.
Interesting.
So I guess comparing this to other similar statted things, like take Galadriel's Handmaiden. It, as we mentioned, it's the 1 cost spirit ally, 0 attack, 2 will, 2 health. Just the stats part alone, it has 1 additional health on that.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, how good is just an instant guard?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to compare this also to Guard of the Citadel, because you put Guard of the Citadel into play, he's 1 cost as well. He just has the guard keyword forever. And he has 4 health, but he only has 1 attack. So I guess you're paying the same amount for more attack?
Well, the idea with this one is you don't need the health as much. Because he might be ideally you're planning on bouncing it.
Yeah, recover it, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, I guess. Recover, bounce, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think bounce is anywhere an official keyword in pretty much any game.
No. Used a lot in games.
It's used a lot by fandoms of games.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was probably one of those magic keywords that's just started being used everywhere.
I like his outfit. I'm going to say that on an audio-only podcast. It's really cool. Yes. It's green. Looks like seashells.
We're overdue to comment about art on an audio-only podcast.
Yeah. Other than that, I think I'll just stick with Guard the Citadel. And I don't know.
I mean,
why not both?
Actually going to say, I mean, it could work with things like there's a 1 cost spirit event that's it takes your next defeated ally and it returns it to your hand.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's preparation. Born aloft, recover your next defeated ally. Oh,
mm-hmm.
So it was used there as well. Recover.
Oh, nice.
But in there, it made more sense because it was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Either way.
Yeah, Born Aloft could be cool. Also, with preparation, also maybe difficult to target Greenwood Defender specifically.
Well,
other people are getting defeated.
This is assuming, you know, this also works with the tree people, which is a leadership event. Recover 1 Sylvan ally to summon 1 random Sylvan ally. When did they change the wording on these? Because I don't think these used to say recover. It's an event, a leadership event cost of 1, sorry. But when did they change the wording on these? Because I feel like these didn't used to say recover.
I don't know when they updated it. I think that they just updated it kind of recently. They went back and changed a lot of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if they're trying to make wording more consistent, that's good. Still might prefer a different word than recover. And I don't think they're ever going to add bounce, so we're probably going to have to maybe return, or maybe they just need to make recover a bold keyword.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to use it in a lot of places.
Yeah, for Greenwood Defender, I don't know. I don't have much more to say about it. Do you have any?
Yeah, I can't think I have much else to say.
Guard is good, but if he loses it, that's not as good. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Last card in the news, a Test of Will. It is a 2-cost spirit event, level 1. +2 attack, +2 willpower, and grant fleeting to 1 non-unique ally.
Mm.
Huh. So, I mean, this obviously is huge synergy with Rossiel.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Do we know if the ally keeps everything that you from this card, the +2 attack, +2 willpower, and the fleeting? What if you bounce them?
I mean, I would expect it to not, under the same assumption we've been making about attachments going away.
Sure. It's just interesting. I know, like in the paper game, they really don't tend to affect a lot of stuff in hand. In terms of like buffs, because it's just hard to keep track of.
Yeah.
But in a digital game, you can just, you know, change the numbers and just keep it that way. Like when we have fate events that affect the cost of something in your hand, it just stays that way forever. So it could go either way, just being that it's digital. But in terms of the actual ability, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I'm trying to think about it. I honestly am not. I'm stumped. It's obviously you're going to want to play it on something that you're going to be using multiple times in a turn.
Mm-hmm.
Bouncing is a bonus if you can do that.
Yeah. I mean,
plus, so I guess the first thing that comes to my head is Erkenbrand. He's
he's unique.
Four cost leadership. Oh yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's a good point.
Sorry to cut you off, but yeah, because no, I was like, maybe Gandalf. Oh no, he's unique.
Oh no, I mean it's. So like things you want to bounce, I guess. Just things with guard in general, though. Like, because they start with an action, kind of, they automatically get a bonus action. Are there any like obvious allies with self-readying effects? That
maybe Northern Survivor with Stalwart might be a nice one.
Yeah, Stalwarts.
But I don't want to lose my Northern Survivor due to fleeting. So yeah, you would probably need Rossiel or something to pick him up before he leaves you forever.
Yeah.
That's the best one I can think of, really. I think the only other Stalwart ally, there's two. Guardian of the Forest, who doesn't have any ability text, but she's a three cost leadership that has guard and Stalwart and ranged, which might be changed soon. And then Wolf, which is the Farmer Maggot. Oh no, he's unique, so never mind. Just Guardian of the Forest and Northern Survivor are the only two allies that have.
Sorry. And I guess I might as well go ahead and read Northern Survivor. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh yeah, please do.
It's the two cost leadership ally. It has one attack, two willpower, four health, and just Stalwart. Oh, and it's Beorning. I never noticed.
No, me neither. So yeah, giving him basically, you know, four willpower in order to do that twice because of his Stalwart is really good. But sometimes I don't know. I don't know if this stays, if the stats stay there forever, that would be better, obviously. But if not,
It would kind of make it worse because it would also mean the fleeting stays there forever.
That's true. Unless you had Rossiel to pick him up every single time, and then you're kind of like, that's your whole deck, basically your whole strategy.
I mean, that could become a strategy.
Yeah.
You know, if you only have to pay two cost once and all of a sudden you're, you know, Galadriel's Handmaiden is an absolute beast of a card.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you
do
go
we have
from
any three willpower or three attack allies or even two, I guess. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, obviously, if we're referring to non-unique, I presume, because otherwise we can obviously go Beorn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not bad for him.
Especially he's unique.
Oh, never mind. Dang it.
Yeah, see, it's this whole problem of like, you know, what do you give to like all these allies that seem so appropriate for it, and they're all unique. It's like they thought this through. So like, I guess there's things like the Saludian Traveler. Saludian Traveler. It's an ally, one attack, two willpower, four health.
Mm-hmm.
Dwarf. And it's got like no text. It's two cost.
Spirit. Yeah, just give him four willpower basically. And
then he just dies.
Or I mean, he's a dwarf, so he'll come in with Dane on the table with two. You're giving him a plus two attack on that. Making him four attack if you have Dane out.
There's something I didn't think about.
Yeah.
So basically, I just noticed this triggers revenges.
Does it?
I mean, revenges are triggered anytime it dies, right?
But is it considered defeated if it's fleeting?
But does revenge depend upon it being defeated?
I'm not sure. We have to look at the glossary, which I don't have open.
Yeah. All right. I guess we're going to need to look up that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's interesting.
All right. It has a place in some decks, so yeah. Maybe not mine.
After that immensely long news segment.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I mean I was leading it just as much, but let's go to the meat of the episode, which is gonna or may not meet, but you know, the main topic of today's episode is we'll be analyzing the tactics heroes and their hero rewards. So I guess let's start off with Gimli.
All right.
And I guess Yeah, I believe, I guess, did I just, no, I guess I'll go ahead and read Gimli.
Go for it.
Gimli is a tactics hero, threat of 10. He is a dwarf. He has +2, he has 2 attack, 1 willpower, 12 health, and his ability is +1 attack the first time a character takes damage this round. And he is obviously unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that might be an interesting idea. A non-unique hero.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either way, that's not really relevant. So I guess he's...
Yeah.
His ability is basically he... Sorry.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say... No, go ahead. Go ahead.
His ability is just basically he has 3 attack, which isn't great.
Yeah.
But what makes him worth it right now is A, he has 12 health, which is a pretty good meat shield. And B, that little tag at the bottom that says dwarf just makes him go from zero to hero, basically. I mean, Dane's really the hero here, but the fact that he gets that global buff.
Yeah. I kind of implied last episode that he's a little masochistic because he kind of gets off on other things getting damaged. But, you know, it's any character. So even if it's himself, he'll buff himself up. And that's
do
great.
You, do you mean sadistic off. There? I'm not.
Isn't a masochist when you... Anyway, you...
I'll sorry, sadist is other people. Masochist is yourself.
Oh, okay. So yeah, well, I guess he's both because his ability triggers off of both.
He's a sadomasochist, which is
I was the just maybe I was just focusing
that.
on the sexual gratification part. Anyway, it's fine. I will.
Oh my goodness.
It's fine. He's right. He's cool. He starts in play. The one thing I guess that I think a lot of new players, including myself, when I started, are gonna and want to do try out the three hunters deck, you know, and he's 1/3 of that. Of course, you're not gonna have Dane when it comes to the three hunters, and of course I'm referring to having Aragorn and Gimli and Legolas in one as your hero lineup for the three hunters. And I guess the thing that we didn't really mention about these heroes so far, because it doesn't have a huge effect most of the time, is their threat. And having 10 threat is a little bit on the higher side, especially when you have Aragorn who's at like 12 threat or something. I forget what his is exactly.
It is, but at the same time, if you like look at it, he actually is one of the few heroes that does not have threat equal to his health value.
Mm. Oh.
So like,
that's interesting,
for example, you know, most heroes take like Aragorn, he has 11 cost and 11 health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it almost
okay.
Every Faramir is 1 threat higher than his health value. Gimli is 2 health higher than his threat value. Glorfindel is 3 threat higher than his health value, and that's well deserved. But that's about it. He's the only one who has a higher health than his threat value.
Well, that's cool. I didn't even think about it that way.
So it actually turns out to that's where he's because the ones that are like around this, thinking just, you know, like Arwen and stuff. Where she has 3 willpower and 1 attack, sorry. And if you think about it, he's kind of missing a stat there. And it's located in his health bars where it is hidden. So I guess that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. So yeah, he's nice and beefy for that, and that's great.
I guess talking about Gimli would not be complete without talking about his hero reward.
Mm-hmm.
3 golden hairs. Would you like to read that for us?
Sure. 3 golden hairs is a lore special attachment. And it's 1 cost. It has an arrival ability. -3 threat. Draw 3 cards if Gimli's defeated. And it's Gimli only. So it can only be attached to Gimli. Yeah. This is really interesting because it's lore and before I get into the ability, it's unlocked by defeating 20 unwounded enemies with Gimli, each in a single attack. And that could be just over the, that doesn't have to be in one round or anything like that. That's just 20 ever.
But it's crazy.
Attack. Yeah, it'd be too hard. 20.
If you had 20 enemies attacking you in a round.
Yeah. So yeah, what do you think about arrival minus 3 threat and then draw 3 cards if he's defeated?
I don't know how to feel whenever they're in a different sphere than their parent card, if you will. Kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And makes it where, like, you know, like Sword That Was Broken, you'll often run with Aragorn, even, you know, because it's just, it's in sphere with him. Whereas if you're not running lore, you're obviously not running 3 golden hairs, even if you're Gimli. It is, I believe this is the only lore way to lower threat apart from Gandalf. And yeah, correct me if I'm wrong there, because I could be completely wrong about that.
I think you're right. I'm just going to say you're right. I can look it up.
Yeah, well, it's a... Nope, Grace of the Eredar.
Oh, yeah, Grace of
the Eredar. It's event cost of 2. But, yeah, I guess that's another hero reward.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it doesn't require Arwen either. So it's a very restricted hero award, which isn't a bad thing necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
I think having more restricted but more powerful hero rewards or awards, I'm still not entirely sure. It's award.
Yeah,
it's kind of good, and I think healthy for the game. If it's part, it makes the heroes more unique. As far as this one, it's good threat reduction, but. How, unless you're trying to get Gimli defeated, how often is he actually going to be defeated?
Yeah, I guess we can't talk about this card. Well, I can't talk about this card without talking about Sudsy Wolf's video that featured this card. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it?
I don't think I've seen that one. I can guess at the idea of it being to use Houses of Healing, which is a 5 cost lore event, which then it's Houses of Healing, 5 cost lore event. It's level 1. Return a hero from the discard pile to play, I think.
It's being a discard pile, and then it returns to play exhausted. So there's.
Yeah, so I guess using that with this.
Yeah, and then he did Enduring Valor to make sure that he gets attacked multiple times around, which I thought was pretty cool.
But even then, it's 3 cards.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least an attachment, so it'll stick around. You put it in there as soon as you get it, and you're not going to die first turn anyway. But yeah, it is combo-y, combo-tastic.
It's good in that I like the minus 3 threat part. 1 cost for minus 3 threat is very good. So I guess we just see the rest as a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Still might get replaced with something like, you know, Starbroach, gain Valor. Sure, or gain, gain Stalwart. Continue.
If you pack multiple specials, then you can potentially play this twice. Probably going to be really rare, but it's possible to do that.
And you can't. I don't. Are you able to play this to discard? No, you can't because it's unique.
No. So but can't. Say you have a different special that you can put in to override this. That's Starbroach or something, and then. I don't know why you would overwrite Starbroach after that because it's a great card. But if you did,
really need threat reduction.
Exactly. Then you could. So
if you're overwriting Starbroach with 3 golden hairs, stuff has gone very downhill.
Yeah.
And you're looking for Gimli to be defeated.
Yeah.
I've not thought about it like that. If Gimli looks like he might die, you might, you know, include a copy just so you can throw one on Gimli right before he dies.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a possibility, like if you're doing a Valorious Gimli.
Mm-hmm.
Although in Unending Valor does
Enduring
Enduring Valor, sorry, Enduring Valor, it is a special two.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe that was part of his strategy to use the override stuff. I don't know. I don't remember exactly, but yeah.
But yeah, so I guess it's a very interesting, and this is the kind of card that makes me want to go deck build around this card.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the draw is really worth losing Gimli. Because if you read this as, I guess you could kind of read this as, if you include it with Houses of Healing, it's 6 cost for -3 threat, 3 cards, and fully healing Gimli. Yeah.
And get rid of all your other attachments.
Yeah. And throw away that Dwarven Axe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess it's an interesting desperation card if you ever need one of those. Like if there's ever a quest out there that's so backbreakingly hard, you're going to kill a hero at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to have one hero be the shield.
Yeah.
I guess you might be able to draw into your Houses of Healing this card.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I'm glad they didn't go crazy with the threes to fit the theme. Cost 3, level 3, you know.
I didn't even think about the 3 there, but I guess that's kind of cool.
-3, draw 3. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So I guess that's Gimli, really. He's good. Might need a buff, I don't know.
Sure, but now that you mention it, the threat.
The 12 health makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right,
now I guess let's move on to Idrian.
Mm-hmm.
How about you read this one?
I would say Idrian, kind of like Adrian. No, I don't know. Okay, anyway, Idrian.
Now on to Adrian. Not Colin.
All right, are you ready?
Go ahead, read it.
Idrian, she is a Tactics hero as well. We're doing all Tactics heroes, so of course. 9 threat, Dunedain. She's 2 attack, 1 willpower, 9 health. She has Vanquish, Ready Idrian, and that's limit 1 per round.
Is this Vanquish already limit 1 per round? Is that...
No. No, think about like Faramir. If you ready him up and you kill something else, you can keep drawing cards over and over again.
Okay. So I guess...
But not with Idrian.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
She's useful. She, like, you know... So in preparation for this episode, I used all of the heroes enough to unlock their hero awards.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that I wasn't already, you know, hadn't already unlocked. She's useful, and she's a more combat-oriented Aragorn, but she completely has no willpower, really. She has 1, but that barely counts.
Sure.
That's the other thing I did, is I made myself play quest 2 of campaign 1 using a mono tactics deck, and that hurt.
Yeah, I mean, tactics isn't exactly known for their willpower, you know.
Well, that's why I chose that one, because there was like I had like a total of 4 willpower I had to reach, and I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I could barely do it. Like it took Gandalf sometimes. But yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're really worried about willpower and you're not running a hero that also has a lot of willpower with her, there's always a ranger cloak if you're running leadership, which gives +1 willpower to a Dunedain. And she is Dunedain.
I might as well. I mean, yeah, that's interesting, I guess. I guess you could even go the kill something ready quest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or exactly. Commit your will. I don't know what this game refers to it as. I'm going to keep saying quest as opposed to attack.
Mm-hmm.
But
achieve, I guess. No, I don't know. It's not the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I like her more than you a little bit by the sounds of it, because to me, readying is like one of the most important things in the game.
I like her. It's a question of whether there's like another tactics character I care to use over her. And that's what I'm not sure about.
Yeah. I think it depends on the synergies. If I'm doing one of my favorite decks and that I like right now is like a Ranger deck, and having like the Cloak of Lorien, or not the Cloak of Lorien, the
Dunedain Cloak.
Yeah, the Ranger Cloak is awesome, and being able to just have some of those other Ranger style Dunedain buffs. She's really great there. And yeah, of course, being able to ready right out of the gate without having to find a Stalwart card is great, or a readying card is great.
Yeah. I guess she's also, you can give her Stalwart in addition.
Mm-hmm.
And she's even got like a little star brooch in the art there, talking about art.
That's
what that is she just has one on already, and that's what her Vanquish ability is.
Yeah.
It's really her unexpected courage that's pre-attached.
Yeah. So I like her. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's good. It's worth noting she's cheaper threat-wise than Gimli.
Mm-hmm.
I guess let's talk about her hero award.
Yeah.
Which would be a secretive people. And I guess I'll read this one. A secretive people. It's a leadership event. 2 cost. Restore 2 health. Grant stealth this round and restore 2 health to every Dunedain.
And she unlocks it.
So I guess, does it? So I used a Dunedain deck, but I don't really remember. Did it give stealth to every Dunedain, or was it just one?
I think the way it's worded, it says grant stealth this round and restore 2 to every 2 health.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah, because there wasn't targeting.
Yeah, we should probably mention that it's unlocked by using her Vanquish ability 25 times.
Okay. Yes, thank you. So it's an interesting event. It's one of the few cases of out-of-war healing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may be the only out-of-war healing.
Cram, but that's level 2.
Yes. Yeah, sorry, Cram. Leadership and lore, the healing classes.
Yeah. Oh, and, there's a couple of, attachments that give you... it's not really healing. It's pseudo-healing. It gives you, plus 1 health. So that's kind of like healing.
The stealth this round, I'm never, because it can make defending Smeagol. If you're, if you're trying to defend something, whatever is not getting stealth is not going to like what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm not sure if I could even go as far as it's almost a downside. I'm not sure. It could be because the thing that, doesn't have stealth is Gimli, and he's going to face tank everything. He's ready to be a meat shield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think up to this point, I just haven't had too much incentive to play anything that grants stealth so far. I know that you can get around guarded enemies and get to objectives and stuff like that. So maybe that's where this card will really shine, instead of just trying to avoid attacks or something.
I guess so. And I guess if everything gets stealth, isn't stealth kind of ignored then as far as attacking?
If every single thing gets stealth, then Sauron might just pass if he has nothing else to do.
No, I'm saying though, I thought if everything had stealth, he was able to attack stealth things.
Oh, no, I don't think you can attack a stealth thing at all.
Okay, I thought it was until if there was not, as long as... Okay, maybe I'm imagining that But yeah, so it's good healing, I guess. For if you're playing a Dunedain deck, it's probably just good for the healing part.
Mm-hmm.
It's stronger healing than Beorn's Hospitality, which is a 2-cost lore event that you choose between healing 4 to a hero and healing 1 to each character. So that's... It's good, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing Dunedain, it's a auto-include. Yeah. Well, assuming you're not running lore, in which case it might just be better.
Yeah, it's a little bit like... right now, there's not too many Dunedain out there. And so it's a little bit hard to say like how this is going to affect them, because it doesn't, and it also doesn't really play into what they do, because they don't really have a theme right now mechanically. One of them gives surge, one of them has block, they're like kind of all over the place. So, I don't know. Sorry.
They're also, though, like, you know, they are the not sure what to say exactly, the tribe, no, not tribe, but, race, that's the right word. Sure. Has the most synergy related cards right now. Not just cards of that synergy, but rather
things that reference that them.
Support it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because you've got things like Legacy of the North, I believe is it's called. Legacy of the North, which is a leadership event, cost of 1, that gives +1 resource to each player per Dunedain they have in play. So that, like, I said, I've not tried 2 players both playing a Dunedain deck, but I have a feeling that would lead to a lot of excess resources. You got your Ranger Cloak, which gives, it's a 1-cost leadership attachment special slot that gives +1 health or +1 health and +1 willpower if a Dunedain. And then you have a Secretive People, which is the event we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that they have a lot of support going for them.
Yeah.
Right now. I'm not sure what all that's...
No, I was just going to say, I think they're just edged out by maybe like Sylvan, just because there's a lot of Sylvan stuff coming. And there's like 4 Sylvan cards that mention Sylvan, like weapons and stuff like that. But yeah.
I guess so. But yeah, so I guess there. I think it's an interesting tribe to use.
Mm-hmm.
Or type. I still don't know what to call them. Trait. Yep. Yeah. Yep. So I guess you want to move on from Adrian.
I'm just going to think of that Rocky every time.
Okay. But yeah, she's good.
Did you read A Secret of People? Or did I? I think I read it.
Okay. Well, then, I guess I'll read Legolas.
Mm-hmm.
Legolas, he's a tactics hero. He is unique, obviously. 9 threat, 2 attack, 1 willpower, 9 health. He has ranged upkeep, deal 1 damage, and he is a Sylvan.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he's useful for picking off things. And I'm actually going to make an exception for him. And I think we need to go ahead and read A Good Deed, because this is just tied so much into him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want me to read it? Okay. A Good Deed, it's a special attachment, tactics, 1 cost, it gives +1 attack, and it deals +1 damage with Legolas's upkeep ability, and of course it's Legolas only. So it turns that +1 damage on upkeep into +2 damage, essentially.
Yeah, and it gives him +1 attack from the special slot.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, interestingly enough, with Raiment of War, Sylvan Blade, and a good deed, you can actually get a very beefy Legolas with a mountainous attack stat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing 2 damage at the start of every turn. A good deed is kind of like a card where it, like, Legolas is kind of understated based on newer cards and stuff. He just kind of feels a little weak.
Mm-hmm.
Just directly comparing him to Arwen, where Arwen is the exact same stat line, or she has the exact same threat and health. She does not have the ranged, but she has upkeep, heal 1 damage, or heal 1 health, I guess.
Yeah.
But she has 3 willpower and 1 attack, as opposed to where he only has 2 attack and 1 willpower.
Sure.
He just feels kind of understated comparatively.
Yeah.
And a good deed is almost like it gives him the additional stat he wanted and gives him superior almost to what it, like, as we mentioned with whenever we were talking about Dwarven Peacekeeping last episode, which, if you don't remember, it's the Lost Tactics event. Deal 2 damage to all enemies and 1 damage to all characters. So it, not a ton dies at 1 damage, but a good bit dies at 2. A good bit more, at least.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So a good deed kind of makes his ping from it's going to kill a bat to that could actually kill some things just straight off. Oh, and sorry, you get a good deed by defeating 25 enemies with Legolas upkeep ability.
Yep.
But without a good deed, he's honestly a little weak. So maybe that's intended, where he's, you know, heavily reliant on his sig. This is one of those that's more of a signature, which I think is cool. I think more of the hero award should be like this.
Yeah, interestingly, he has the same exact stat line as Idrien, but for some reason, I think because Idrien has the readying, it's almost like you can double her attack or double her, well, really just double her attack, unless you're buffing her willpower.
You can almost read it as Legolas has 1 attack for 1 damage at the start, and then 1 attack for 2 damage.
Yeah.
Whereas Idrien just gets a flat 2 attacks for 2 damage. Yeah. Assuming you can kill something, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like thematically the feeling of having sort of a fragile elven character and making sure that they don't feel like they're Gimli and they can just tank a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, I'm not saying he should be able to tank. I'm not. Mm-hmm. But like, he should have an appropriate attack stat.
Yep. Right now, I'm just noticing a typo that I put, the Rings DB. I can walk this path, Sid Legolas instead of Sid. Anyway, I think the other thing that we haven't mentioned much is that he has ranged, and that definitely comes in handy. It doesn't feel as good to use it, like, say, compared to Faramir's ranged, because you can get around stuff, kill it, draw a card. There's like a lot that happens with Faramir, but with Legolas, he does have the ranged, so it kind of does help to get around some of those guard enemies and stuff like that. I'm like hardly ever using his willpower, but sometimes I do.
You know, I mean, I don't know, like, it's a bit like using Arwen's attack. I think Legolas and Arwen are 2 sides of the same coin.
I can see that. It's
a pretty fair comparison there. Mm-hmm. One is the quester with a heal upkeep, and the other is the attacker with the damage upkeep.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to Arwen is more straightforward, but because Legolas would be too weak if a good deed wasn't a card, and it kind of gets to the point where you can't use Legolas well without getting a good deed.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess the only negative to a good deed is that you can't put any other special, but, you know, whatever.
It's a bit like saying you can't put any other weapon if you're playing a sword that was broken on sure. Aragorn.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you can't, but what other thing are you planning on playing?
Yeah, I guess just turning him into Idrian, you know, by putting a star brooch or something.
Yeah, but like, I definitely like a good deed and Legolas together. I think that they're it makes it good.
Pun intended, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Indeed.
It. Oh, yeah. Boy. Without a good deed, he would be too weak. With it, I think he's... I'm still not sure, but I think he's fine. I think. Yeah. I do wish more hero awards were like this, or like Sword That Was Broken, or like Three Golden Hairs.
Mm-hmm.
I just find those the more interesting ones. But yeah, mm-hmm. Do you have any other thoughts on the combo?
No. I agree with what you said. Without it, yeah. Yep.
With all that being said, I guess that wraps up our main topic for today. So yeah. I guess what kind of decks have you been playing lately?
I might have to pass because I haven't played since last week, I don't think. So what about you?
What kind of caster are you? So I was playing a bunch because I wanted to make sure I had all of the hero awards unlocked, because I did not have Idrian's unlocked. And then I tried that one out. So I guess, like I mentioned, I tried a mono tactics because I just thought I'd see how that one went. And I took it against the heaviest combat I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
Heaviest combat quest. Where like the total willpower you need is like 8. And it still did horribly. Or it still felt really like slow. Like you weren't struggling with enemies. You were just not working well. But yeah, so that one was... It was interesting. I'll say that. And then I tried a Dunedain deck, I guess, because I thought I'd try out... I guess I never completed the game with the Dunedain deck. I'll say that.
Yeah, me neither.
But I did think it was interesting just how much synergy there was in that deck already between all the cards that were present.
Mm-hmm. What kind of... going back to your first deck, what kind of level 3 tactics cards are there off the top of your head?
The only one there is right now, I think there's only per class. But the level 3 tactics card is actually a really good card. It's Citadel Plate.
Oh, that's right.
It is a one-cost tactics attachment. It's armor, and it gives +4 health. I believe it has to be attached to a hero, but it gives +4 health and block.
Okay, that's cool.
So, I mean, I used a combination of, you know, that and also Raiment of War, because I really like that card.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's a really good armor card. And because you have no lore, block becomes a lot more important. You have no healing, so you can't get rid of damage, so you have to mitigate it as much as possible.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you can do fine as long as you get block on everything. You can kind of... And a side effect of having block on everything is that Dwarven Peacekeeping becomes even better.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So that's...
Is Sauron still like passing if he just has one attack enemies?
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe they should change that. Like sometimes for me, if person has blocked or something, I would imagine that you just attack them just to maybe like undo the guard or something. Like if I have one character with block and I put them on guard, then Sauron sometimes passes if he has only one strength, one attack enemies. So, but yeah, he really should just be attacking that guard to get rid of guard, and then that'll open up for you maybe some other one.
Well, like something I have noticed is I know that this is a different hero, but I'm going to say this in relation to this. Tom Took has gotten a lot worse because Sauron no longer ignores his ability while it's active.
Oh.
He used to attack in the same order regardless of whether you had, used the ability. And now he uses his lowest attacker if you've used the ability without fail. So you'll often only absorb one damage with it, which makes it significantly worse.
This gives me an idea for like a podcast main topic. We can talk about like Sauron, like what can you expect from Sauron? What does he always do that we've noticed,
Yeah, that's an interesting idea. We could also discuss, but either way, we can...
We'll talk about that later.
I guess that all wraps that up, and so I guess that's
Sorry to be boring and not play any decks right now. I think I've pretty much played every single quest like all 5 times now, so it's like slowing down a lot for me a little, so I'm really anticipating this new, really getting excited for.
I have a few quests that I've ground a lot more because there's some that I just didn't enjoy that much.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why, but to be fair, I don't know why, because I enjoy Quest 2, but Quest 4, I just don't enjoy it for some reason.
Well, wasn't that one that
campaign one?
For new people?
It used to be absolutely murderous. Something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it still is. I've not played it in a while. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I guess I should probably retry that one. So yeah, that's the decks. So I guess that's in the podcast. If you want to contact us, we decided to get an email. So that's hobbitbytes@gmail.com.
With a Y.
Hobbitbytes. Not bites as in eating, but bites as in the podcast name. So feel free to send in your criticisms and any compliments, I guess. We're not getting any of those.
Or any ideas for topics or anything like that, we're all ears. You can also visit us on the Discords.
And we have a Discord as well. The link to that should be in the description of the podcast, assuming I remembered to do my job correctly. That'll be all. Y'all, see you next week. Bye.